Well, thank you for being back with us tonight for our evening service. Next week, we look forward to having folks here for our evening service. As you're well aware, as I mentioned this morning in our live stream this morning in our parking lot service, that on Mother's Day, May 10th, we're going to continue with our parking lot services in the mornings, and then next Sunday night, we'll begin meeting back in the building for our Sunday evening services. So that begins next Sunday night. And a reminder to all of our moms, we'll be giving a special gift for Mother's Day next week. So, of course, we look forward to that. But we also look forward to being able to be back in the building together. And that'll start next Sunday night. So just keep that in mind. We'll send a letter out concerning that. And just make notice of that several ways this week so that everybody's aware of what's going on for next Sunday. Well, as we get started here tonight, let's go ahead and we'll sing together. We're going to sing the chorus, "I Will Serve Thee Because I Love Thee." So if you would, you join right in with us as we sing. And then we'll come back for a few prayer requests and then we'll have a word of prayer together. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I long for. You have given life to me. We'll sing one more time. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I long for. You have given life to me. Well, that is a really, really good song. And I trust that that song resonates with you in the sense that when things are not well in your life, you can go to Him and not only serve Him, but throw your burdens upon Him as well and serve Him even through the heartaches, even through the difficult times. And these have been difficult days for our community, for our state, for our nation, even across the world. And yet, we're still privileged to be able to serve Him and to trust that that has been your heart as well, to continue to serve Him even in these difficult times. As we go to prayer tonight, let's continue to remember our leaders. Let's remember our local leaders. Let's remember Governor Justice, President Trump, Vice President Pence, all of our leaders. There are still major decisions that have to be made in the coming weeks and months. And how many of these men really know Christ as their Savior, I do not know, but God knows. And God can work through anybody. We know that He raises up leaders, and He certainly has raised these men up, and they certainly need our prayer. So we're commanded to pray for them in 1 Timothy chapter 2, to pray for those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. So let's continue to remember them. And let's just continue to remember our church family. Now, we've mentioned several times about the sick that we've been asking prayer for. Let's just pray for each other that we would maintain a right testimony during these times, There are people who have had their incomes reduced. There are people who, maybe not too many in our church, and I'm grateful for that. Nevertheless, there are people around us who are not employed right now, struggling that way. And this week, we've been able to help some folks that have some special needs, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful that we can be used to help others, and trust that you'll be looking for opportunities as well. And if you know someone with a very special need, listen, it's all right, let us know. That's one of the things the church is for, to try to help folks. So let us know about those things. So if you would, let's just begin together in prayer and ask God to do a special work in our service tonight. Father, I thank you for loving us the way you do. We're grateful that you allow us the privilege of not only knowing you as our own Savior, but that we can serve you, our Savior. Lord, we can serve by being a witness to the lost. We can serve by ministering to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, whether that's through an encouraging word, whether that is noting a physical need or a material need that someone has and trying to reach out and minister to people. Lord, I'm grateful that we have that privilege and would ask that you'd always remind us of the need to be looking out for the sake of others, ministering to folks. We bring our leaders to you tonight, our president, our vice president, Lord Governor Justice. I think of our Bridgeport community, Mayor Lang, the city council, that you would work through these people. And we realize that there are people with various political views, many different philosophies of life, but you can still work through to get your will accomplished. Lord, we think about what your word tells us, how you work through Nebuchadnezzar, how you work through the Persian king Cyrus. Lord, you have always accomplished your will. You said you raised up Pharaoh to bring glory to your name. So, Father, it's no different today. You are still in control. And we begin by asking for those who do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that they would come to know him. Father, that you would also give them wisdom to make decisions that are going to be in line with your will. We ask, Lord, that as a church family, that we would seek to just do our duty as far as prayer for our leaders, and to be good citizens by being obedient, be good citizens by upholding the things that we know are right, and do everything we can to defend those things that are right. Lord, I also ask tonight for those missionaries that this church supports, a number of men and women who are all over the world, many of them quarantined, many of them in seclusion right now because of the coronavirus, under some very strict conditions, even more so than what many in our nation are facing. And I ask that you would continue to protect them, not only physically, but spiritually from Satan's attack, that during these times where they may not be able to meet with their people, they don't have necessarily the technical advances that we have here as far as their membership of their ministries are concerned, they would still be able somehow to minister to their people. Please, Lord, give them wisdom. And Lord, that reminds me of Brother Enoch and Ariel as they prepare here at the end of the month to head down to Mexico. Lord, your will in that, we ask that you would enable them to get to the place that they greatly desire to be so they can serve you there. Lord, they've faithfully served you here. They have been willing to do anything and everything to be a blessing to me personally, to be a blessing to this church. And Lord, we're grateful for that, but their call is not here in Bridgeport. Their call is to Mexico, and I ask that you would just enable them, that there be no more hindrances, they be able to get onto the field and begin the work in full that you have called them to do. So, Father, you bless them, and as Brother Enoch comes here in just a little while to present your word, I ask, Father, that you would just speak through him tonight, give him your wisdom, and let him present to us what you have laid on his heart, so that we are drawn closer to you, so that we have a greater love for you. And Lord, if there's sin in our life, you bring conviction that we would turn from those things and that we would honor and glorify your name by being obedient to the preached word. Lord, we just ask that you'd work in our entire church family. You know, the many needs physically, yes, but Lord, there are many needs spiritually, and I ask that you would work to draw us closer to you, and that we would stay right with you or get right with you, whatever the need may be. And so God, will thank you for all that is done through this service, and Lord, as this church continues on for you, that we would please you. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing one more time before Brother Enoch comes. And if you would, you can join us in singing. And look forward again to next Sunday, where we have some folks with us in the service just to hear your voices again. It's not necessarily easy singing to a windshield at a parking lot service. It's not easy necessarily being able to stand here with an empty auditorium and sing without hearing others sing. There's something about God's people raising their voices together, and look forward to that. So you there in your homes, you join with us as we sing one more time before the message tonight. All right, we're going to sing, "We've a Story to Tell to the Nations." We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. And shatter the spear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a Savior to show to the nations, who the path of sorrow hath trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God. Might come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. Well, we're glad to have Brother Wynn with us tonight, and he's going to be preaching for us tonight. We're grateful for him to be here.
Well, it's an honor to be here tonight. Thank you so much for having Pastor Vaughn, and thank you so much for choosing to turn on your device tonight and be willing to listen to me. But I just want to say thank you for being there in your house tonight and listening to this message. I was praying through the week as Pastor asked me to present something tonight, towards missions, as you were going to have through this month, a missions month. And I was thinking about what I was going to be preaching and what God would have me to do. And I was reading through my Bible, and I thought it was very interesting what God brought to my thought and my heart to present to you tonight. I just want to say, first of all, thank you for what you guys have done for us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being our sending church. We're excited. Pastor was saying, we have now our tickets to leave May 28th down to Mexico and begin our full-time ministry. And we're serving throughout South America, helping church planters plant their church And we're excited to take the gospel down through all South America. But if you'd be able to keep on praying for us, that'd mean the world to us. And tonight I just want to kind of bring a thought to you that I hope will be a blessing to you. This thought, as I was reading my Bible through the week, God just brought this thought to my heart, and I believe this is something that would be very key in these times. I think this would be something very key, and as we're going through this month that regularly would be a missions month, a missions emphasis month, that maybe God would use this thought and bring to our hearts maybe something we can do or keep on doing as we go through this struggle. Well, if you'd look with me to this thought, we find this thought in Matthew 19, verses 27 and 29. Matthew 19, verses 27 and 29. And if you're there with me, at verse number 27 says, let's read just real quick verse number 22, kind of gives context. It says, "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." And then again, verse number 27, it says, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in this regeneration, which the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Then notice here, this is what I want to concentrate on. "And everyone that hath forsaken his houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life." I just want to concentrate on that one thought. At the end of the verse, it says, "For my name's sake, and shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit eternal life." The thought tonight was kind of brought to me as I was thinking our life. Here we see kind of a story that a rich man comes up to Christ, and he kind of asks him, "What can I do today to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" He was thinking about, I guess, as rich men do, as men of wealth do, they're thinking about their investments, they're thinking about their future, they're thinking about, this man was thinking about his eternity. And he thought about his investments, you could say. He was thinking about, what will it take me to get
what I want? That a rich man comes up to Christ and he kind of asks him,
well, God says
inherit the kingdom
something
of
that
heaven.
He didn't really want to hear.
He was thinking about, I guess,
why don't you go and sell all that you have and follow me? Well, he kind of didn't like that answer. And then Peter kind of, sometimes I guess he does stick his foot in his mouth, but he asks the question, and I really like that he asked that question personally, because it kind of gives me a glimpse of what God promises us. And as we think about this thought tonight, he says basically, Peter, you've left your land. You've left your family. You've left it all behind. You've taken everything you have and given it to me. Trust me, it's worth the investment. Trust me, I'm going to give you 100-fold. It'll be worth it. Tonight, I want to bring this thought to you. As you live your life, as we're going through this dark time, there's a question a lot are asking themselves. A lot of people are thinking, where do I go next? What do I invest my life in? Well, if you think about it, a lot of people that had invested their money in a lot of things, in a lot of companies, these past few months have lost millions. Warren Buffett has lost billions of dollars. I don't think he's happy. This rich man, I'm sure,
right now, unless if he received Christ later on in his life, which I don't think he did, he right now is probably not happy with the response he gave Christ that day, what he did. So the question tonight is, as we think, how am I going to invest my life and my possessions? How am I going to do this correctly? Well, that's the thought tonight, is how should we invest our life, our possessions, correctly? Let's pray. Lord, tonight, I think this is something very near and dear to our heart and, quite frankly, to our life. Lord, how should we invest our life? How should we invest our money? Lord, I believe you have a plan for every one of us. I believe that that plan is perfect. I believe you have so much you want to do for us, not in just this life, but more so in eternity. And Lord, if we just trust you, I believe at the end of it all, we'll be happy. We'll be content and we'll be satisfied knowing that we didn't fail in our investments. Lord, would you use this thought tonight to help us maybe change something we need to change in our life? Or, if we already have this right, Lord, help us to continue and increase in our faith and giving our lives to you in every aspect. In your name I pray this. Amen.
Well, through the years, there's been several different type of investments, and I thought this was pretty interesting. Just a week ago, a lot of people have been thinking, well, the stock markets have dropped. These billionaires, these millionaires, a lot of people, quite frankly, have invested in a lot of things, a lot of different companies, and out of nowhere, a lot of them have just gone to nothing, bankrupt, worthless. My dad, for his own money, sometimes he invests actually 90% of what he makes, he gives back to the church. But in order to be able to feed our family through the years, sometimes our support has gone down so low where he wouldn't have been able to stay on the field unless if he was wise in investments. And I have a brother-in-law that also is wise in investments. And I've done a few things in my life, but I was noticing last week something very interesting. There's a stock named UAVS. This stock, just about a week and a half ago, was worth 45 cents. 45 cents. So, if you had 45 cents and you had invested in this stock, you're hoping that your investment would come back. And maybe you'd have a little more money later on. But this is basically what you put into that stock, hoping that you would get money back from this company. This company is essentially a drone company that is producing drones for the benefit of different companies. And so there was a little thought that came up just a few weeks ago about this stock. Somebody posted that this stock might have one of the biggest companies investing into this company. This company is worth billions. The name of this company is Amazon. Amazon was supposedly, by some of these people that were commenting on this stock, was supposedly going to be coming and purchasing from them the drones they make in order to be able to send their packages through drones. And so this stock, within a matter of just a few days, as I was watching it, went not only from 50 cents up doubled, it didn't triple, it went up within just a few days to 10 times the amount. Because there was going to be a conference call at 11 o'clock on Monday,
that was going to tell everybody whether Amazon was going to partner with this company that was a no-name company, really not worth a lot. And that stock went up 10 times the amount. It went from, if I invest 49 cents, basically 50 cents, it went up to that much, 10 times the amount. And I saw this and I said, well, that's amazing, but that's speculation. These people are throwing in millions and millions and millions of dollars into something that they hope will be good news. And at 11 o'clock, they were hoping for that CEO of that company to announce that they were now partners with Amazon. And at 11 o'clock, a little bit before that, a lot of people pulled out. But at 11 o'clock, the announcement came in. People that had invested their life savings soon found out when the CEO said, we're not partnering with Amazon. That was just hearsay. That wasn't real. That stock began to fall. That stock, in just a few minutes, really, went from 10 times the amount down to just $1.20. And those people that just invested their life savings into that stock came out with practically nothing. They invested in a hope, they invested in a dream that was a bubble, and it popped. And there was a lot of people that day that lost a lot of money, years of their life savings, in just a few short minutes. And as I thought about that, I said, well, isn't that interesting? We hear a rumor, we're willing to invest all what we've saved up all in our life, in just a few short minutes, that can become nothing. Why, I fear sometimes we as Christians, we don't realize our life and the value we are to God, and the value we could have in all eternity. And if we just think in eternity, maybe we could make wiser investments. Maybe we could make investments that won't just last 80 years, but last an eternity. Well, today we're just going to look at one man. Maybe we'll notice from his life a few things we can do in ours. Wise things he did, and maybe we can take those wise steps of faith, place them in our life, take his counsel, place them in our life, and at the end of our life, when we close our life, our eyes here, and open them in heaven, maybe we'll realize what Christ said that day. It's worth the investment. We found here, we're going to think about one person. His name is probably not somebody you think about too often as far as missions is concerned. Well, his name is called Abraham. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 14. And there I find a very interesting situation that maybe we can find. God kind of put this on my heart, and maybe we can find some key thoughts that he put in practice in his life, that if we could put them in practice in our life, maybe we could have a successful life in eternity like he did. He's known as the father of faith. Well, let's go to chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, verses 14 through 16 says this. And when Abraham heard his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, both in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is unto the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Tonight I want to see three thoughts. You say, James, well, how am I going to invest my life? Well, we're going to find three thoughts on how to have a successful life invested in eternity. Three thoughts from Abraham's life. First, we find here in this passage a very interesting situation. We find Abraham giving his life to fight for those that couldn't fight for themselves. Abraham, right now, in this situation, hears that his nephew Lot is being kidnapped, essentially, being taken captive, and he makes a decision to risk his life and the life of his servants to go get him back. And he fights, and God gives him the victory, and he's able to bring back the men, all the possessions, and his nephew Lot. And here we find something very interesting. He fought for those that couldn't fight for themselves. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking of so many situations I find in my life where I could do the same thing. Fight for those that cannot fight for themselves. Lot was being taken away captive. No doubt he would either be a servant or he'd probably die. But Abraham goes and fights for him. You say, James, how can we learn from that? Well, think about it. What he sacrificed. Earlier this afternoon, I was talking with family, as my father-in-law and mother-in-law are here to see my brother-in-law's baby. And as we were talking about life, we were talking about different times where we did something. And I don't know about you, but have you ever fought for somebody? Have you ever given up something for somebody and said, well, that was worth it? Or have you ever done it and you said, man, that was definitely not worth it? I believe what Abraham did here was definitely worth it. But I was kept telling them a situation where once my dad called all his 8 kids up to the top restroom, with a restroom that was for guests. And he lined us all up, and you could see on his face he was not happy. You see, he had gone into that restroom and he found what now we consider gold, right? He found a bunch of toilet paper just strewed everywhere. And he was frustrated. He said, that cost a lot of money. That's wasteful. He called us all up there, and there the 8 siblings are standing in front of my dad, not too happy. And my dad asked the question, who did this? And one after another start replying, I'm sure like you did as a child, I have no idea who did this. I must have been somebody else because I didn't do it. And so I said, maybe one of my other siblings did it. And then the other one would say, well, maybe one of my other siblings did it. And we kept on saying, no, none of us did it. And when he got the last kid, Wendy, he said, did you do it? She said, no, Dad, I did not do this. And so my dad said, well, that's interesting. I don't know how the toilet paper went all across the ground by itself, but I think we're going to find out who did it. Either that, or you're all getting a spanking. And I remember at that moment hearing, I'm getting a spanking whether I did it or not, because one of my siblings did it. But I also remember thinking to myself, well, yeah, wait a minute, I can be a hero here. I think I know what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to get a spanking anyway, so I know what I'm going to do. Whoever did it, whichever sibling did it, they're going to be grateful to me. And I rose my hand. My dad said, yes, son, do you have something to confess? And I said, Dad, I have a confession to make. I did it. Everybody else should go free. I should get the spanking. And I thought at that moment all my siblings are going to be clapping their hands and say, yes, he saved us from a spanking. He fessed up. And especially the one that did it, I thought he was going to be especially happy with me. But no, I realized all my siblings just bowed their head and started walking out the bathroom door. And now my senses were coming to myself, and I began to realize, what did I just do? My dad says, son,
do you realize what you just did? And I said, with a little more regret, I began to say, well, yeah, I threw the toilet paper on the ground, which I didn't do. And I was going to get a spanking for it. But my dad said, no, son, what did you do? Then I realized, I said, I lied. And my dad said, yes. And what do liars get? And I said, double spankings? My dad said, yes. And he put me over his knee. I got twice as many spankings. And the whole time I'm thinking, why did I do this? Why am I sacrificing myself for my siblings? I said at the end of that day, when I left that bathroom, I said, never again will I sacrifice myself for my siblings. There's a lot of times where we sacrifice ourselves for others, and I think sometimes are probably more logical than others, but that time I was not happy I sacrificed myself for my siblings. But there's been other times where I am happy. There's times where I've seen people in trouble, and I've helped them, and I'm happy I did. This situation where Abraham sees Lot being taken away, he chooses to give essentially an opportunity. He could have died. He could have been killed that day going and trying to get Lot back. But he went anyways. He sacrificed his life anyways. And I just want to say the first thought tonight is, in our Christian life, could we just make a decision, as Abraham did, and fight for others? And fight for those that can't fight for themselves? When we see people throughout this time, as Pastor was saying, struggling, not having a job, maybe we could help them out by giving them food. As we're going down to Mexico and as we're getting prepared to go down there, we're finding a lot of people in the church that live basically day by day. They go get their food. If they don't work that day, they can't eat that day. And as we go down there, we have a purpose, mainly to reach the lost for Christ, but also to help the people we can help in every way possible. And tonight, as you think to yourself, well, is it worth it? Is it worth it to fight for others? Well, I promise you this, it is. As you give to missions, there are people out there fighting against the devil, fighting against what the devil wants to take from God. And I promise you, God will do amazing things if we just decide tonight to fight for Him. And we can learn from Abraham. He fought for others. He had the faith to fight. Well, we have the faith to fight for our Lord. As we look on to the next thing, there's going to be three situations in this chapter we can learn from his life. Well, first of all, he fought for others. We can fight for others. But second of all, it deals a little bit more with what I was trying to hope to bring tonight is, in verse number 18 of chapter 14, we see here, he comes back from the battle, bringing back Lot, bring back all the things and the people. And he comes to a man named Melchizedek. And here he says, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chaldeorom, and of the kings that were with him, and the valley of Sheba, which is the kings of Dele. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God,
which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And this is what I want to note. And he said, and he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High, the possessors of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. Here you find a situation where Abraham comes back. He's done fighting. He's bringing back the people. He's bringing back the goods. And you see the first thing Abraham does here is he gives a tithe. He gives. God, in a very special way, blesses those that not only fight for him, but realize something. If we can trust him with our money, and we can give to an eternal recompense, you could say, it gives glory to God. Abraham, I believe, is an amazing man of faith in several situations, but you see this man of faith do a lot of things. But I think one of the things that touched my heart the most is when he gave. He was a man that was giving. Here we see he gave tithes to the Lord. You see several situations where he offers up sacrifices. He's offering up rams. He's offering up some of his livestock. He's just offering up things to God. He's giving to God. And one of the most amazing things he does is when he offers his son to God. Abraham, I believe, had a lot of faith. And God saw that faith in his giving. Does God see faith in your giving? Is God pleased in your giving? Is God pleased in your life? Or is he saddened by the lack of faith we have in our giving? I remember when I was a kid, my dad would always have us, whenever we got a letter for our birthday that had maybe a $20 bill in it, whenever we got money or something for our birthday from somebody in the States that would send it to us, we were always supposed to write a thank you letter. Until we did that, we would not get the money. And so I remember writing a thank you letter to the lady that had sent me $20 on my, I believe it was 7th or 8th birthday. And I remember getting those $20 and just thinking it was $1 million. And I was so happy, and I put it in my wallet, the one bill in my wallet. And I remember going to church that day, and it was a strange situation because, if I remember right, it was a missions conference at our church. And the pastor preached about giving and trusting God for your needs. And I remember just God touching my heart and saying, hey, I know you're little. I know you just got $20 for your birthday, but I could use that $20. I could use that $20 to maybe reach somebody in Africa or somebody in India with the gospel. There's a missionary out there that needs that money. Would you give it to me? Would you trust me? And I remember that day kind of thinking it over, and I remember just by faith opening up my wallet that only had one bill, and that was a $20 bill. And I remember taking out that $20 bill, and as the offering plate passed by for that missions offering, I remember putting that $20 bill in the offering plate. And I remember the weeks passed by, and my dad finished up the conference with saying, trust God, he always comes through. And I was as a kid, I always liked to pray about just random, very specific things. And I loved when God would answer the specific things because it made God very real to me and his love to me. But I remember when I was a boy, my dad was going to go to a conference to speak. And I asked my dad if I could go with him. And that day as we were flying there going to that conference, I remember asking God for something very specific. I remember asking God, saying, God, I don't know if you remember, but I put $20 in the offering plate for a missionary. And I know this is not exactly how things work, but I would really appreciate it, God. It mean a lot to me if I had seen a movie with some person with a watch. I think he was an agent, and he had a really neat watch. And I said, God, as a little boy, I said, God, I'd love to have a watch. A little watch. And I remember when we went to that missions conference, I just left it at that. My dad had preached, and he was at the end signing Bibles at the end of the service. And somebody came up to talk to my dad and then looked down to me. And he looked at me and he saw kind of my eyes kind of staring at his watch. And I don't know why, but the person, I don't even know his name, he said, hey, son, do you like my watch? And I said, yes, sir, that's a very neat watch. He said, it looks really neat. And I remember him saying, well, you know what? I think God's putting this on my heart. He took off his watch. He handed it to me. He said, it's yours. I remember that day with a smile so big. I put it on my wrist. And I remember just smiling so big and saying, God, you're amazing. You just gave me exactly what I asked for. And I just want to say thank you for showing yourself to me like that. And I remember putting that watch on and I was just excited. We went back to the hotel that night and for some reason or other, we had a hotel that had a swimming pool in it. And I remember that person telling me, this watch is waterproof. You can wear it anywhere. You can swim with it. It's an amazing watch. I love it. Enjoy it. And I remember that day going to the swimming pool and there was nobody around. And I said, well, there's nobody around and I don't want to risk getting this watch wet and maybe it's not waterproof as this guy said, so I'm going to take it off and leave it right here for right now. And I jumped in and I began to swim and my dad came down saying we need to go and I got out of the pool real quick. I ran up to my room, got dressed, and as we were leaving the hotel room to go back to that plane to come back to Mexico, I remember as we were already driving to the airport, a thought came to my heart and I said, oh no, I forgot my watch. I had left my watch inside of that, on the side of the pool. I had left my watch because I didn't want it to get wet, and now I had forgotten it. It was about 20 miles away, and there was no way if I told my dad, hey dad, we need to go back for my watch. It's really important to me because we're going to miss our flight. And I remember just crying that day because I had just messed up something God had done for me. And I remember crying that day and just saying, God, I know I'm a dummy. I know I mess things up, but could you possibly give me another watch? I promise you this time I won't leave it by the side of a pool. And the next week, similar situation happened where my dad was just preaching a few churches away, a few hours away. I went with him and a person that was talking to my dad took off his watch and gave it to me. And just to make a long story short, when I put that watch on, that watch I still have underneath my bed in Mexico, that watch meant a lot to me because it just shows God and his kindness to us. And I remember that day when I gave that money to missions, God made it real to me, saying, trust me, I will repay you. It'll be worth it. And I'm not saying, you know, you give $20 to missions, you're going to have a brand new car next week. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is God has a purpose for the tithes, for the offerings, for whenever you give to missions. He has a purpose for it. But I promise you, as the Bible says, He will pay you 100-fold in heaven. When we get to heaven, it'll be incredible to see the people that chose to trust God in what He said. That trust God enough to take, I don't know, their money or their life and give it to God. We see Abraham's faith in fighting for others. We see Abraham's faith in giving in every situation. And I just hope we'd be able to learn from that and be able to trust God whenever He asks us to do something. Maybe trust Him because God has a purpose for it. And in the end, I promise you, in the end, God will come through. The last lesson we can learn from Abraham's life and what he invested, we find in verse number, chapter 15, verse number 1 through 6. Verse number 15 said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall be thine heir, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now forward, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. The last lesson I would like to see from Abraham is faith. Believe. When God said, don't worry, I'll be your shield. You've given your life, you've given your possessions, you've given it all. Don't worry, I'll be your shield. I'll be your protector, and I will give you what I promised you. As Christians, I believe so many times we fall short of trusting God. We fall short of trusting God, what He promised us. And as we go through life, we just fall short of fighting for others. We fall short of giving by faith. But also we fall short of trusting God and His promises. When God took Abraham and showed him what He was going to do for him, He gave him a promise of a seed and of a place. And if you think with me tonight, God has given us a promise, an incredible promise. He's promised us an eternal life and an eternal destination to live out that life. And a lot like Abraham, I hope we will have the faith to realize that and trust God through all the struggles, through all the trials, and stay faithful to Him as Abraham stayed faithful to Him. I hope we make the decision tonight to invest our life as Abraham did, fully by faith in God. Let's pray. Lord, tonight we saw a simple lesson, and I pray that You would use this lesson, Lord, from the Bible, a man of God that trusted You, that fought for others, that gave of his possessions And Lord, live by faith. Lord, help us to learn from those situations. Help us to learn to fight for others, to give our life and invest it in you and for your glory. And Lord, at the end of it all, help us to have the faith to continue on as faithful Christians. Pastor.
When we think about the winds heading back to Mexico, we're invested in their life. They're going to go down and fight for the souls of people. And they're going to be trusting God, and we on our end need to be trusting God as well. We need to be fighting for the souls of others right here in our own area. And as we not only support Enoch and Ariel, but as we support a number of other folks all around this globe, that we would trust God enough with our finances that we would say, God, I'm going to give you my finances. And as you challenge me to give, to support these missionaries who are on the field, to see them sustained there in those lands and to see those ministries grow and people saved, that we can do that. And I trust that that will be your heart tonight. So if you would, with me for just a moment, would you bow your head right where you're at? And would you just ask the Lord to help you to keep a commitment to keeping our families who are serving through this ministry around the world, that we would continue to support them financially, yes, and in prayer as well, that God would just magnify his name in every land, that many would come to know Christ for his glory and for the sake of those people so they can spend eternity with him. And as you consider this month, this was to have been our missions emphasis month. We were to have had a number of missionary guests in this month. But because of the coronavirus and the limit of travel from state to state, a number of those folks are not able to come. But tonight, and the reason I wanted Enoch to speak was I want you to be reminded of our purpose. Our purpose is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we should be doing that through our lives here in our own area. And while we may not be able to go to Mexico, we may not be able to get into Central and South America like the winds will do in the months and years to come, we may not be able to get over to Asia or into Africa or into Europe. These folks who are going can sustain their ministries by us giving financially and praying for these folks. And I would just ask you right now just to recommit yourself to the Lord, to do everything within your power to get these folks to the field, keep them on the field, and see them do a great work for the Lord. So let's pray together as we close our service tonight. Father, I would ask that you would help each of us, part of this body of Christ here at Grace Baptist, to be fully committed to supporting missions. And Lord, seeing Enoch here preaching tonight helps put a face to that, knowing that he and Ariel will soon be headed down to Mexico and will do the work that you have called them to do, reaching people with the gospel, Lord, helping national pastors get their church buildings built and the special task that they are trying to fulfill in that particular realm. Lord, we have the privilege right here in Bridgeport to support them through our prayers and to support them through our finances, and it'd be an encouragement to them. And so God, not only with the winds, but we could begin right now to list name after name of folks we have all over this globe who are doing the same thing. And Lord, help us to be faithful as you're faithful to us, to keep these people on the field serving you. And Lord, as the Apostle Paul said, it actually goes to our account. We are, though not physically with them, because we support them both through prayer and through finances, Lord, you bless it to our account as well. We're grateful for that. So Lord, help us to be about that business. And we'll thank you, Father, for what you do to use this ministry, our people, to be a blessing to the winds and to the other missionaries that we support. God, we'll thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Trust you'll have a good week, and we'll see you back here this Wednesday evening for our Bible study. And remember, next Sunday we have our parking lot service at 11. We'll have a special gift for all of our moms that are with us in attendance. And then next Sunday night, we'll open the building back up. And for those who will be able to come, we certainly want to encourage you to be here next Sunday night at 6 o'clock for our evening service. The Lord bless you. Give you a great week. Good night.